are listening to Dovetails with Deborah, a show about encouragement as we empower you with tales and testimonies of many who share what has happened to them as the Holy Spirit rests on them like a dove.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to a brand new episode of Dovetails. Praise God, because the old has gone and the new has come. I tell you, folks, this has been a year of new beginnings, a year of hope and restoration, replenishment, and feeling refreshed. We still have a wonderful lineup of guests for you to learn from, but make no mistake, for these guests are courageous as they share the most intimate details of their lives. How grateful I am, because each weekend I continue to learn and learn and learn and be amazed at what God is capable of when humanity welcomes him into their lives. Oh, what God can do with a willing heart is simply remarkable. So if you have never encountered or heard about Jesus Christ before, consider hanging out with us this sweet afternoon as we unpack the journey of my extraordinary guest in order to discover the truth together. And if it's your first time tuning into Dovetails, I am your host, Deborah, founder of DCL Ministries, a ministry birthed from my pain, my tears, my divorce, and my healing when I surrendered to God's process. There is a misconception, folks, that time is the thing that heals all wounds. But I'm here to tell you, time doesn't heal anything. Time only tells. But it is only God who heals, and only God who covers, and only God who loves mankind unconditionally. DCL Ministries is about allowing the God-breathed word to thoroughly equip mankind for every good work. So if you like what you hear and want to join the movement, log on to www.dclministries.com to receive the newsletter, become a guest on Dovetails, read the thought-provoking articles, Sunday devotionals, and learn all about our featured ministries on our very own Writer's Corner. And we have already begun our six-month series on divorce and separation with my spectacular co-host, Rachel Kidder. I just love her. She is also a divorce care leader, divorce care facilitator at her church. And we are going to be rolling into, at the end of this month, which is October 28th, our fourth show. And we're just so excited to have people with us to share their story, to have comments. Folks, we are learning together. So no one is an aficionado, or we are all still coachable and all still learning. The title of this show that we're going to be doing at the end of the month is Faith or Fear Dictating Your Choices? So just begin to meditate on that title and think about that. Is it your faith, or is it your fear really dictating the choices that you make? Is fear actually guiding the influences in your life? So think about that and join us at the end of the month. And if you are looking for a book to read, I'd like to suggest my book, The Women God Used. If you allow me to linger just a moment longer, I want to read an excerpt. Women are such fascinating creatures. And if you don't believe me, have a disagreement with one of them, and then let me know how you make out. Yes, I agree. We can be difficult. Emotional, argumentative, assertive, bossy, dominating. But to our credit, we are also cute, cuddly, adorable, submissive, beautiful, compassionate, nurturing, supportive, and hardworking. I guess in the end, to save time, we are as a species complicated. But please tell me, who isn't? The women God used are rarely seen baking apple pie or reading a story to their children before bed. No, the women God used were also clever, unconventional, strong-minded, and strategic. Today, these women would be described as the first you would pick to be on your board of advisors, but not the kind you want to meet in a dark alley after hours. These women are strong enough to drag you to the finish line, but the first to leave you if you are not pulling your weight. Yes, God handpicked complex and complicated women whose stories are not glamorous, with some of their methods being less than desirable. But they created new streams in the very dirty wasteland of sin. These biblical women forged the dynasty in biblical history and now grace the pages of the greatest story ever told to prove it. If you were not aware, these are the women God used. And this book is for all the women that have had to adjust to life, the women that had to grow into their shells and become leaders, risk takers, rebels, parents to unruly children, widows, single mothers, prostitutes, entrepreneurs, and anything else to survive in this world corroded with sin. This book will allow its readers to see a snapshot of women that didn't take no for an answer when the pitfalls of life tried to bury them into the ground. These women triumphed beyond comprehension and, despite sin crouching at their door, chose unconventional ways and made it anyway. Therefore, God, he didn't waste our time with highlighting women in the Word that were content with church as usual. No, these were women who cried for a night and, due to time constraints, had to wake up and press on toward the goal to reach the finish line. Horrible, you say? Oh, I think not. For some of them might have been annoying, but they were also anointed. And many women in the Bible are complicated, but they were also called. And many might have appeared scandalous, and yet God could trust them with trouble. This book will walk its readers through the lives of unique women that were called into a ministry, a position in history that no believer or non-believer can ignore or ever, ever forget. I challenge the position that these women were out of place or horrible. On the contrary, they were the Sigourney Weavers of their time, the G.I. Janes of the Bible, and the movers and the shakers in their hometown. These women feared the Lord and, through his guidance, changed the hands of time and biblical history. These complicated women, smothered in their own issues, problems, and struggles, rose up despite the adversity with a double-edged sword in one hand and the issues of their families in the other. These women paved a way for all who would dare to follow in their tumultuous footsteps, with a disclaimer in bold letters reading, "Buckle up your baby, because we are all in for a bumpy ride." Oh, yes, you are correct in thinking that these women were unconventional, but sin entering the world changed everything. So don't judge how these women made it through, for they are survivors, just like you and just like me. These Bible warriors screamed out to anyone that would listen, "I am woman. Now hear me roar." Therefore, it is time to pay some respects to the women God used. The women God used is about humanity learning to let go of what they thought was going to happen and what they wanted when striving to take hold of a God-centered lifestyle in union with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is why Dovetails is excited to have a woman who has endured the trials, doubts, uncertainties, and pain of this world. But she is also a woman of God who is known for her sense of humor and authenticity as a pastor and a speaker. My guest today, Carrie Aller, is first of all a wife to her husband, Matt, and mom to her two children, Abram and Hallie. Carrie is the founder of Women Becoming Ministries and the Awaken Me Girlfriends Conference. She is a speaker, author, actress, and songwriter who has been in ministry for over 14 years. Sadly, as a preteen, Carrie was bullied and almost took her life because of one person's opinion. But she has used this experience to help several teens and their families. Carrie ministers to all people, all ages, through authenticity, while communicating the Word of God in a way that is easy to understand. Carrie's life motto is, "Life without laughter doesn't make any sense." I love that. She believes even if it doesn't seem like there's a way out of the storm, God is working. And as her friend Barra says, God has an excellent long game. God sees the big picture, and we simply have to trust him. So sit back and relax as I unpack the testimony of a woman who sought God's face, wrote his words on the tablet of her heart, and has lived through the storm without losing her zeal, her passion, and herself. The lovely and devoted Carrie Aller. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
Let's get cooking. Yeti Cooks is a place where you will find recipe ideas, tutorials, and tips, clean eating, classic favorites, meal plans, nutrition information, and a lot more. You can find instructional videos or download recipes found on YetiCooks.com. Follow my cooking chronicles on Instagram and Twitter. Get quarterly newsletters, latest updates on trending food culture at YetiCooks.com. Let's get cooking.
This is Carla Cook, daughter of the legendary Sam Cook, on tour now with wondrous stories, the life and music of my father, Sam Cook. You can find me at CarlaCook.com. Remember, that's Cook with an E. And follow my Facebook page at The Carla Cook. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at The Carla Cook. I hope to see you soon on stage in a city near you.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah, right here on WPJC 104.5.
Oh, and we are back, and you are tuning in to Dovetails Radio, a show about the many who have witnessed the power of Christ in their lives through the regenerative work of the Holy Spirit. Christ is our provider, our redeemer, our healer, and our shepherd. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, it is through him we can be born again. Well, today I have a woman of God who is a wife, mother, author, songwriter, actress, and founder of Women Becoming Ministries, known for her infectious sense of humor, which she uses when ministering to preteens, teens, and adults. So please, please help me welcome to Dovetails the lovely, lovely Carrie Aller. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm doing so good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on today.
I'm excited to have you. I see your testimony, and I just know that people listening have gone through similar things. I know teens have gone through similar things. We're going to dive into that into the show, but even adults have gone through a lot of the things that you have gone through and sometimes don't recognize it. I guess I'm pretty much referring to the bullying. But here on Dovetails, what I feel about what the Lord is doing in a believer, the Lord is doing in general, a lot of times, if I take it back for a moment, when I look at media, when I look at social media, when I look at we are conditioned in this world to always put our best foot forward. We want to make sure that we look great. We're coming out of a great car. We have a great house, a great family. And, you know, we start to lose sort of that balance in our life. We're told to put the best foot forward. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think the beauty about a testimony is that we see the good and the bad. We see the bitter and the sweet. We see the triumph. We see the victory. But we also see the tears and the pain. And I believe in my heart that people learn from that. people learn, because maybe as they listen to this show, they are in the midst of crying. Maybe they're going through a divorce. Maybe there's a family member that's handling a mental illness. Maybe that there's a lot of financial difficulty and there's need for breakthrough. And so when we try to pretty the picture up sometimes, I think we do a disjustice to what our testimony could be. There was a movie that I saw, Carrie, called Vanilla Sky, and there was a line that always stuck with me, and it was called, the line said, the sweet isn't as sweet without the bitter. And when I heard that, I thought, that's what this show is about, putting God on display, but having to weave ourselves through those bitter times to get to the sweet times. They do become sweeter. Oh, I love that. One of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 14:10. Actually, let me just turn to it, because that is such a rich scripture. Each man knows his own heart's bitterness, and no one can share its joy. And I love that, because as many times it's like, oh, we're going through this with you. You feel it in your heart. You know when you have a bitter moment, but when God delivers, when God gives revelation, when there's a lesson that's learned, oh, you feel that inside, and it's something that's shared between you and the Lord. So with that being said, here on Dovetails, we love starting at the beginning, because I want guests, I want listeners tuning in to hear the full picture. So with that being said, I'm going to start at the beginning, Carrie, and we want to know whether you were raised in a family that acknowledged Jesus Christ.
Yes, my dad is an ordained pastor, and so I grew up in my parents' home with going to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, and Jesus was the center of everything and is the center of everything for us.
So there's people listening today that maybe they didn't grow up in a family that believed as your family believed. You know, like you said, your father's an ordained pastor. I have a question. I think there's a lot of people that think, oh, well, your father was an ordained pastor. You fell in love with God right out of the womb. You know, there was no obstacles. It was like, yes, yes, you know. And did you struggle with feeling as if, you know what, because my father's an ordained pastor, there's already this pressure on me to make sure that I keep up, right? Like, I hope they saw me praying over my meal. I hope they know that I'm going to be leading Bible study. But, you know, we're growing. Like, did you have any difficulties with that?
Honestly, I didn't. But I don't think I knew God. I grew up knowing God. My parents, you know, we prayed, like you said, every meal. But I didn't really know Him until I was at the end of myself. And then I finally got to the end of me, so I had Him, and He was what I needed.
Yeah, and I definitely agree that I know in my household we were also raised knowing who Christ is. We did Sabbath. In our family, actually, Carrie, my family, we wore white all the time. I guess it was the church that my parents were going to, and, you know, this Bible study every single morning at 7 a.m., and I don't know if you relate, but it's like you said, did you really know Him? Or, you know, at this point, I'm doing what my parents told me to do.
Right.
Did I have that personal relationship? No. Talk to us about that feeling, or maybe even looking back now, talk to us just a little bit about, you know, talk to us just a little bit about that contrast, I'm going to say.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're in a home where your parents are displaying the love of Christ in every area, and you are going to church and you're exposed to all of that, that helps so much. And I actually, when I was a preteen or a teenager, I actually thought I was pregnant at 14 years old. And I had to tell my parents, yes, and I had to tell my parents that I thought I was pregnant. And when coming to them, this was the real big display of God's love that I saw, and my parents displayed it. And I had to go to them and tell them, and I didn't know if they were going to kick me out of the house or what repercussions were going to happen because of my choices. But what my parents did, they said, you know, my mom held me and cried with me, and my dad looked at me and he said, well, we love you the way God loves us. And so we want to be here for you, and we're going to walk through it. And they gave this grace to me that was undeserving. And with them doing that, I was able to really understand and grasp what God's love is like.
I'm telling you, you're warming my heart. No, because I think to me that displays more of who God is versus, you know, a lot of times we are taught a spiritual formation. We are taught wake up, say your prayers, you know, in some ways check God off on a list rather than integrate him into our lives. And, you know, as a family that says we believe in Christ, we believe in the resurrection, we believe in second chances, we believe in being born again. It was that opportunity at that moment to display that, but many people cannot. We say one thing, right? We're raised in a family where it's like this is – it's almost like we're using the word of God in many ways to just control, to beat people into submission. And then when someone needs grace as what you needed, right? Like, I think I might be pregnant. This is the moment,
right?
Like, do the words of God come off the page and say and we apply it now, right? So I don't know. Do you know about Sarah Jakes Roberts? That's her testimony, that at 14, at 13, I think she was pregnant, and her parents reacted in a similar way. She really thought like they're going to kick me out because my father's T.D. Jakes. This is insane. He's on the front cover of he was on the front cover of Time, I think, at that moment. It was like, you know, with a caption, "Daughter pregnant," you know, but. But that's those of you out there that are listening today, that's what God is about. God knows we're fallible. He knows that. He knows that anywhere you have flesh, there's sin. And so the idea that, you know, the enemy's always going to come with the very things that tempt every generation. You have a generation of men and women, there's an opportunity for a man or a boy to become a father prematurely, and there's an opportunity for a girl to get pregnant before what we say is society standards. Carrie, how would you think your friends and family would describe your character as in your adolescent years? How would they describe you if someone were to ask them?
I think my parents would say that I was joyful, that, you know, I was fun-loving, easygoing. My mom has always said you were so easy to raise, and she said you're a blessing, a pleasure, and a treasure is what she says. And my friends would just say I'm goofy and bubbly, and, you know, when I was unsure of myself and not comfortable in my own skin, I was very insecure as an adolescent. Until I've, you know, fell in love with Jesus, and he is my everything. And when I understood who I am in him, that's where my confidence comes from. It's not from me, but it's from him. So that's how I would describe myself as an adolescent, though.
You're like, I'm just adding that little tidbit here.
Yeah. It's the preacher in me. I can't help it. I always got to preach somewhere.
See, listen to that giggle. I love that. I love that. I love that because I ask this question only because I want people to see, folks, I know for myself, I hesitated for years, for decades actually, coming to the Lord because I thought I'd had to give up the things I liked about myself. You hear Carrie talk about her parents are saying she was joyful, a blessing, what did you say, a pleasure and a treasure. Her friends are saying that she's goofy. Folks, you can be goofy and serve God. You can have a stuttering problem and serve God. You can still do that. You can say that I love, I want to be a ballet dancer and still serve God. God does not want you to remove your uniqueness. He designed you and made you that way. When you hear that scripture that he took that time to make you in your mother's womb, it's that giggle that you hear, Carrie, that he put that there. He put that there. So don't be discouraged in regards to thinking you have to give up yourself, give up what's recognizable about who you are. Carrie, do you wanna add to that? Because I know that especially with your ministry, you minister to teens and preteens, and I have to be honest, with the changes that young folks go through today, hormonally, mentally, and physically, it's hard for them to discover where they belong. And I have to be honest, you know, the struggles and the insecurities. I'd like if you can, even to elaborate while you talk to us about this, elaborate on your insecurities, because they're real. They're not something that you can stuff. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, actually, when I was a preteen, I was very, I guess I was taller than all the boys, and I was more developed than all the girls. And
oh, wow.
And so I felt like, I felt like an ugly duckling in a way. I didn't fit in. And all my friends were smaller than me and skinnier than me. I was a little fluffy is what I like to call it. And I remember one
fluffy?
Day so clearly. Yes. I like it better than chunky or, you know, fluffy. It's a little fluff.
That's great.
Yeah, I say sometimes it's heat in the winter and shade in the summer, but I don't know if that really works either. But anyway.
That's great.
But I remember one day we were at a assembly, and I remember my friend was flirting with these boys, and I was trying to flirt, and as I was flirting with them and giving the how you doing look like Joey from Friends, I was very awkward, and this boy in front of everyone said, "Carrie, you are so ugly and you are so fat that you should just go kill yourself." And
oh, wow.
That was such a lie that he spoke, but because I wasn't really walking, I knew God, but I didn't really know him. I wasn't sure of who I was. And so this one person's opinion on who I was magnified in such a way where God should have been magnified. And because that person's opinion was so big, I believed it. And I was willing to take my life because that person told me that I should, and I wasn't good enough. And so my parents, you know, as I said, they thought I was happy. I was always laughing. And in fact, my mom told me when I was really young, I'd be in my room by myself and just laughing. And they'd have to say, "Carrie, now stop laughing." Like, and so I was just laughing all the time and happy all the time. But, you know, they thought I was happy in this time and because I was smiling and everything. But on the inside, I was screaming. And I felt completely devastated. And I wanted to take my life, so I wrote a note to my friend, and I told her, you know, "I love you, and thank you for being my best friend, but I'm not going to be here tomorrow." And so she took it to the counselor, and my parents were very proactive. They got involved, and the youth pastor got involved, and by God's grace, I did not take my life. And then a year later, one of my family members actually succeeded in taking their life. And I got to be on the other side of it. And when you're feeling suicidal and when you're an adolescent or whether you're an adult, you're so focused on the problem at hand that it is so magnified. You can't even see God. He's there. But because we've brought those things to the forefront, that's all where our focus is. Our gaze is not on the Lord like it should be, but on the problem. The problem is a liar, and it's so magnified, we can't even see God anymore. So that's where I was, and I almost took my life. But now looking back, I can see how that thing that the enemy tried to use to take me out, God used as a platform to help other people. And so that I've helped talk to parents on the phone late at night about their kids. You know, they would call me crying, and my child is feeling suicidal, my child attempted suicide, different things, and helping them. And so I can see how, you know, just like Joseph said in the Bible to his brothers, if you don't know that story, you I highly recommend it. Look in Genesis. But he says to his brothers, you know, what you intended to harm me, God used to save many lives.
That's right.
So that's how I view it.
And it takes a long time with what Joseph did to even get to that point. Folks,
right.
if you're tuning in, we are interviewing a wonderful woman of God by the name of Carrie Aller. She is the founder of Women Becoming Ministries and the Awaken Me Girlfriends Conference. If you're just tuning in, she's really starting to unpack her testimony. Carrie, I don't want to, even for the listeners, there's some real things happening in your life as a preteen, as a teenager. And, you know, we started off this show and we know that you're raised in a family that believes in Jesus Christ. We know that your parents introduced the Word of God to you, but we have some serious things that are happening in the underbelly, the potential or the possibility of you thinking you were pregnant, these insecurities that are looming underneath. And now we have this boy saying this to you, and it went from one moment to I'm writing this note. I think that just the idea that you're raising this in the beginning of this testimony, there's people out there that are listening today. I want to, folks, just read to you the definition of a bully in the dictionary. It says, one who uses superior strength or influence to intimidate someone, typically to force him or her to do what they want. When you look back, I know that you said that we must keep our gaze on God. I think what people need to hear is how. When I hear God on one end, when I go to church and I leave church, I'm going back to my life. How do we fuse? How do we integrate God? You know, we're told to go to the Lord. We're told that he's our counselor. We're told that he's our healer. And at this young age, you're going through such a difficulty. How did you find that strength to say, I need to figure out what's going on here? Yes, you had intervention. But, you know, when you're looking back now, encourage someone that's listening right now that's stuck, a parent that's seeing the signs and saying, something's wrong with my child. And yet I am teaching them the Word of God. I am, you know, bringing it to the next generation. Talk to us about these trappings of the adversary in reality.
Yeah, I mean, I know that my parents were devastated because, you know, like you said, I was raised in a Christian home. They encouraged me. They loved me. They, you know, I mean, anything I wanted, I mean, they provided, you know. It wasn't like I was in lack. I was spiritually.
Yeah.
And my parents were intentional. So because, you know, the letter was made known to the counselor, they were intentional, and my parents prayed over me daily. They were intentional about getting me counseling if I needed it. They were intentional about doing all these steps to try to help me, and they gave me the tools that I needed so that I could become better and that I could see clearly and that the problems at hand were not in the forefront where God should be. And they kept reminding me, so being intentional. So I would just encourage the parent today, if you have a child that is in this position, please know that you are so precious to that child and that the problem is so much bigger to them right now than they can see. They can't really see clearly. So know that, you know, you have to be intentional and get them the help they need by using the tools that you have at hand. There's so many things that you can do, counseling, church stuff, pastors, different things that can get the kids the help they need.
What do you think is the difference between a mentor and a friend?
I think a mentor, you see, I look at those two words, and that's my parents to me. They're my mentors, but they're also my friends. And they are mentors in the way that they'll tell me the hard truth, even if I don't want to hear it. And they will love me and encourage me and point me the direction I need to go. And they're that friend for me and listening and simply being an encouragement. So I think both of those things intertwine, to be honest with you, because when you're a friend, you have someone's best interest at heart. And as a mentor, you have someone's best interest at heart. And encouragement is a key factor in both of those things, I feel.
That's great. I love that. I love that the imagery or the parents came to your mind. And folks, you're out there listening, that being a mentor and a friend can dwell in the same person. I love, Carrie, that your parents, for you, embody that. A lot of people don't have that. They don't have that mentor. They don't have that friend. And truth be told, they don't know how to recognize it either. They don't know the difference between a frenemy and a friend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Sometimes, you know, with young folks today, they can, oh my goodness, you kind of look at the news and you see some of the characters of young people today, and for some child to say you're so fat, you should just go kill yourself. I mean, such strong language, such strong words. Never thinking when I put those words into the air that somebody actually is listening to that. They could be emotionally suffering, and I'm saying something that actually takes them to that point of considering it. I had a, it was actually my hairdresser, and she said, I don't understand. How does a child get to that point that suicide is actually an option? And she said, you know, I make sure that, you know, with my child, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. Like, she had this format. And, you know, it just got me thinking that, you know, we are in a different generation, that suicide is an option. You know, when something went wrong or I had an argument with one of my friends when I was younger, it was never an option. And yet it's sort of like, well, you might be a strong parent, and you might be thinking you're giving all these tools to your child, but in that child, we're in a different generation right now. We're just in a different generation where everything seems to be on the menu. And so I appreciate, Carrie, your transparency. I appreciate you sort of just bringing this to the forefront so that there can be a conversation about it, because it is real. I was saying earlier in the show that there's adults that don't even realize that they're being bullied. It could be in the workplace, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize it. What do you say to, because I've heard people even say, well, the person that's the victim, let's say, they're just weak and they need to stand up for themselves. What do you say to that?
I say that, you know, myself, I mean, I've been bullied as an adult as well. And what I've learned is that I can either handle it myself, which could turn out in my favor, but most of the time it doesn't. It just makes me go down on their level. Or I could have God fight for me. And when I allow God to fight for me and I take that problem and that issue to the Lord, God vindicates and God brings to light what's in the darkness. And so when someone is bullying, I feel like they're not walking in the light, and God will expose that because he's a fair judge. And so I would say take it to the Lord and allow God to have it and honestly let it go, because I think sometimes we'll confess and we'll say, God, take this issue. This person's bullying me. But then we pull back the issue and we try to drag it with us, and it doesn't work.
Right. Yeah, it's the truth. And folks, you're listening today, and know also that, you know, we're created in the Lord's image, which means like we have in some ways, I shouldn't even say in some ways, because we are created in his image, we're in alignment with the Lord, even if we don't know it, that there is, you know, yes, in church circles, we call it discernment. But at the same time, you have intuition. There's when you're even a young adult, there's people you gravitate towards because you feel a connection. You're thinking, start to take a look at why you feel connected to certain people. as Carrie's saying, that her parents for her, you know, they embody being a mentor as well as a friend. In the Bible, Moses having such difficulty leading 2 million Israelites, his father-in-law, Jethro, was his mentor and his friend. Sometimes you need to gravitate towards people that are going to help you to say the hard yes, meaning there's a way that God has already planted in us that we are going. We were created in such a way and stitched together in such a way that God will send you lifelines. He will send you people that are going to celebrate you, not harm you. So keep your eyes open for that. Keep your eyes open and suggestions. And we're going to talk about that. And since we have Carrie on the show today, she's going to be our expert panelist at this point. So we're going to pick her brain for the show. One more thing that I wanted to say was, or at least ask you, Carrie, was you said a little bit earlier, you found God for yourself when you came to the end of yourself. This experience that you had with the bullying and the potential of taking your own life, was that the point in your life that you did come to the end of yourself, or not yet?
It wasn't yet, to be honest with you. I think
interesting.
That was the beginning. That was the beginning, but it definitely wasn't. And I think me finding, you know, thinking that I was pregnant, that was when I got to the end of me, when I had to go before my parents, people that I loved, admired, and respected, and I didn't know how they were going to handle it, and watching them handle that grace and giving that undeserving grace to me was a picture for me of how God gives us that grace every day. And I actually got to, when I was a senior in high school, that boy that told me to go kill myself, he came to me and he apologized. And he asked me to pray for him, and I got to lead him to Jesus. So that, for me, was a redemption story. And I remembered how my mom and dad gave me that undeserving grace. And so I looked at this person that told me to go kill myself, and I thought to myself, I could either handle it my way, or I could allow God to handle it, and I got to lead him to Jesus.
I love that. See how God can bring it full circle? See how the Lord can really bring it full circle. I'm intrigued with, you know, with the severity of what had happened to you as such a young lady. And I think especially for people out there that have been trying intervention with their children or with their friends, with their loved ones, the question is always, why wasn't that your rock bottom? I mean, looking back now, is anything more clear in regards to maybe what the Lord, because that's very interesting that at that moment there was so much that had happened in your young life, but it wasn't, as they say, your rock bottom yet.
Yeah, I know that kind of sounds bizarre that wasn't my rock bottom, but I think that I was still kind of growing and when you're in that mindset of suicide and working through that depression and different things, I think I just had a lot of things that I had to work on that God put those, you know, he strategically put those people in my life that I needed in that season to help me kind of get back on the path that he was wanting me to go to. And I know the enemy wanted to take me out, but, I don't know. I don't know how that wasn't my rock bottom, but
I mean, you have. I said before the show started, you have an interesting dovetail, girl. You have an interesting dovetail, but that's what I love. You know, the Lord comes to where we're at, and everybody moves at their own pace. You know, things pierce people's hearts at different times. What is rock bottom for someone else might not be rock bottom for that person. That's why, folks, when you're always asking God to avenge what it is, maybe somebody trespassed on you, and you're saying, God, get them back. And, you know, at the time, it's always like an eye for an eye. Keep in mind, whatever hurt you might not hurt the other person. So, you know, God knows how to bring people to him in a way that it can, they're making choices that reshape their heart into a heavenly creature and not a hellish one. God looks for ways to bless us without corrupting us. Keep in mind that the adversary, he'll give you what you want, but make sure and understand you'll be corrupted afterwards. There's always some loophole with the enemy. So it's just very interesting. Don't be discouraged like, oh, you know, I've had so many things happen to me and I still am not getting it. Everybody moves at their own pace of understanding, and the Lord knows how he created you. So keep that in mind. We're going to take a very, very short break because Carrie has gotten us off to a very interesting start. And folks, if you're just tuning in, again, we are interviewing Carrie Oller. She's the founder of Women Becoming Ministries. Love that. Love that title, Women Becoming. And she is also the founder of Awaken Me Girlfriends Conference. You got to check out her website. It's a great website at www.carrieoller.com. She's just a beautiful, beautiful woman of God. And she has written several books as well, Foundation Strong, Enjoy the Journey, God Uses the Unusable. And we hear this in the underbelly even of her testimony. So we have more for you. Stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to be talking about not only the power of words, but when and what happened in Carrie's life that actually did bring her to her end. We'll be right back, folks. It's hot, hot, hot. So stay tuned.
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more Dovetails with Deborah right after this.
What's up, y'all? This is your bro, Robbie Newborn, Christian rap evangelist, ministry leader, and founder of GDT Walking Out Ministries, a drug awareness, peer mentoring, and counseling ministry that spreads a message of hope to the hopeless, bringing the gospel to the street. I am a recovery specialist, intervention, drug prevention professional. So if you're looking for a counselor or counseling or someone to just talk to, please call me at 484-525-9832. My website is www.rdsjr.com. God bless you all from all of us at GDT, Walking Out Ministries, and Team God. Peace and Christ love. Come on.
This is Catherine Mews, author and founder of Defend the Faith Ministry, and you're listening to Dovetails with Deborah right here on PJC Media.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chats. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
We're back, and you're tuned in to Dovetails with Deborah right here on WPJC 104.5.
And we are back, folks. I hope you're enjoying your Sunday afternoon. It is sunny here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I hope you're having fun today just, you know, listening to us. And, you know, I hope you refreshed your beverage and got right back into your seat to listen to this wonderful woman of God. We are interviewing Carrie Oller today. She is the founder of Women Becoming Ministries and, again, the Awaken Me Girlfriends Conference. Please check out her website as I'm interviewing her at www.carrieoller.com. And prior to the commercial break, we have just been unpacking this woman's testimony. There's some huge, huge things that have happened to Carrie. At 14, she thought that she might have been pregnant. And, you know, she is the daughter of an ordained pastor. And so you can imagine going to your parents and saying, I think this, I need help. And the beauty of the gospel is that the Lord says, you know we're going to make mistakes, but we can begin again. We can be born again. And her parents exercised that faith, that grace, the same grace that God gives us, her parents exercised to her. She comes through again, and she's dealing with adversity in school. Many of you out there, you're listening, and you're a young adult. You're trying to figure out where to fit in. You're trying to figure out where you belong. And then you have perhaps a bully that's in the midst that says some earth-shattering words. And Carrie considered taking her life at that time, even went as far as writing a note. Carrie, I wanted to add this because I thought it was so interesting. I listened to K-Love Radio, Christian radio station, and they had a talk in the morning as I'm driving along in my automobile. Anyway, and they were talking about bullies, and they said that a mother had found out that her son was a bully in school. She was so disturbed. She had gone up to the counselor. She talked to the boy, and she made him, for I think maybe a month, maybe 2 months, wear a shirt that said, "I'm a bully." It was like, what? And I mean, he walked around class like, "I am a bully," because she said she wanted to, like, it was her way of handling the situation. And I thought, wow. So there was definitely listeners that came in and said, well, she knows her son. She knows how she's trying to get him to stop doing that, to intimidating others. And then, of course, other listeners felt that she had possibly gone too far. I just thought that I'd, you know, throw that in there, which I thought was so interesting, the way that today we handle things. I don't particularly think that's the best way to handle it, because it's an opportunity to educate. And of course, if that young boy does not understand the real detriment to what he did behind it, if how she's handling it is to embarrass him, I think that creates another problem.
Right.
But I thought it was still, go ahead, you can elaborate.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing. Yeah, I agree.
You're like, yeah, yeah. So one thing about your testimony that I found was just so wonderful. In your testimony, you're constantly talking about the Word of God, how He speaks things into existence. We know that God spoke the world and creation and humanity into existence. But it feels like for me, regarding your testimony, that's huge for you, the words. And I wanted to talk about the power of words, because when you did not have a personal relationship with the Lord, we see that the power of that boy's words, it empowered you in some ways to act, because you're like, well, you know, I'm feeling low about myself. I have low self-esteem. I don't understand, you know, I know about Christ, but I don't understand, like, what image I'm made in. I've allowed the world to replace the image that God has given me with what this boy is saying. And then you come to the Lord and you're understanding His power of words. Talk to us about that. Talk to us about, you know, coming to the Lord and understanding, like, wow, this is the truth versus the lie.
Yeah, well, I definitely think that the enemy is strategic, and he doesn't know everything that God knows, obviously, but I think that he catches on, he can see different things in our lives, and so obviously me preaching the Word of God, using my words to tell people about the Lord, that was something that God was going to do in my life, and so the enemy tried to take me out using words, which is interesting. But when you really grasp and you learn the Word of God and how powerful it is, and how everything in His Word is true, that gives you just such a empowerment, because you know that God does not lie. He is incapable of lying. And so everything in the Bible is true. So using that, grasping that, and putting it into action in your life is such a powerful thing. And Yeah, I love words, actually. If you were to come into my house, Deborah, I have words everywhere. Like, everywhere I have words. And, I mean, you're getting preached at every corner. And so words are just very, very important to me. I think they can either bring life or death.
That's right. Oh, that's right. That's right. There's life or death in our tongue. I share that with you. I do love the power of words. And many of you out there, you're listening, and perhaps you haven't taken on the challenge of just reading the Bible. Maybe, you know, going to your pastor or joining into a Bible study. It changed my life. It clearly changed Carrie's life. And when we really, you know, in this world, it's so hard because we don't have absolutes. You know, we get involved at work, we interview for a job, you get on the job, and all of a sudden the job description has changed. You start dating someone, and before you know it, what they said they were, who they said they were, has changed. And I want to encourage you so much out there, because when you read the Word of God, He does not change. He's immutable. And so when you think about the promises, when you read that word and God tells you a promise that I will never leave you nor forsake you, oh, that He can come to you in your sadness, something can happen in your realm where it's like, I know that I only told God that, and now He's come to me and He's redeeming and restoring. He's my provider and my healer. You can take that to the bank. And this is what Carrie's been talking about in her testimony. Carrie, I want to talk about relationships with you. I want to talk about what drew you to your husband, Matt. And I'm shifting a little bit because I want to dive into your family and I want to dive into your children. And I believe this is even where you get a stronger personal relationship with the Lord. In my mind, I'm like, don't mess with my children. Like that's, you know, sometimes that's that feeling. And the question I had asked folks earlier, if you're just tuning in, that this young woman, she has considered taking her own life. It wasn't her rock bottom, but you know, as we unveil her testimony, we'll see where that rock bottom actually dwelled. So talk to us about what drew you to your husband, Matt, because that's another interesting story. Talk to us.
Yeah, I actually, Matt and I had mutual friends that I worked with at a Christian bookstore, and I asked them, I said, hey, does your husband have any cute Christian guy friends? Because I want to find a good Christian guy. And she said, okay, well, there's this guy named Matt, and he's a college pastor at our church. And so, you know, would you like to come to an outing? And so I said, yeah, I would love to. So I went there, and I got lost on the way there. And so they gave the phone to Matt, and he was giving me directions. And I'm directionally challenged. So he was like, which direction are you going? Are you going west or east? And I said, I'm going straight. I don't know. I'm going straight. And anyway, but I get to the place, and my husband and I, we just kind of, when I saw him, I was like, oh my goodness, that's going to be my husband. I just knew it. And
Stop it.
We got engaged.
Stop it.
Yeah, I did. I did, girl. I put a ring on it. And
you're a mess.
I know. But yeah, I'm a hot mess like 99.9% of the time. But I just said, you know, I think that's my husband. And so after 3.5 weeks of dating, we got engaged, and we've been married now 13 years.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's never happened to me. That's just never happened to me. Now, what qualities up until this point in your life, you know, you're up until this point, what qualities drew you to him? Yes, you have this common ground because you grew up in church. But what made, 3 weeks is not a very long time. But I also believe when you know someone spiritually is yours, it doesn't take that long to figure it out. All the idea when you're dating someone for a lengthy period of time, the idea that you don't know if they're the one, if you're not sure yet, is sort of, it sometimes I think is a little bit of an indication. There's a hesitation there. But again, believe me, I'm divorced, so don't take my advice. But talk to us about the characteristics. What drew you? What was he saying? Did he pray with you? I mean, what is this courting process that went right into marriage? You've been married for 13 years, so that says something.
Yeah, well, I was, when I met him, I was 18. I was about to turn 19, and he was young too. He was 20. And so, but what drew me to him and how I knew is just how he carried himself. It was different than the other boys that I had dated, and how he opened the door for me, and he was a gentleman, and he had a good sense of humor. And it was just, I just knew that this man, like, he loves the Lord, and it's evident in his life and what he does and how he treats his parents and different things, that I knew that, girl, he was fine and he is mine. So I was like, I gotta put a ring on it.
What are we gonna do with you? What are we? You said he is fine and he is mine. Oh my God. Well, because those of us up there that have not had that kind of luck, and you at that point had all gotten pregnant when you were 14. So, we need a little bit more detail in regards to what this man was doing. Yes, he was holding the door, but how did you know it was genuine and sincere? What at that point, and had you grown in your faith any? Had you grown any closer to the Lord to actually discern that he really was someone of a caliber? Because he was someone of this caliber of person. Truth be told, a marriage, in my mind, after being divorced, I need a man that's going to stick with me through cancer. I need a man that it's not just about chocolates, sunsets, walks on the beach. Yes, I want those things. It's not about the picket fence any longer. It's not about having the perfect house in the perfect neighborhood and everything feeling perfect, having a boy and a girl. I mean, it's not about that. It has to be rooted in something deeper. And I'm sure through 13 years of marriage, you obviously have gone through those. So let's dive into that a little bit. Let's dive into after the courting phase, after the marriage, it's these things that you two are exchanging within this marriage that makes it work with God in the center. So let's talk about those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I'll say, to kind of tag on to the last question too, that on one of our first dates, I knew that he was honest, brutally honest, because he looked at me and he said, "Hey, is your nose broken?" Because my nose actually was broken and it was starting to kind of go crooked a little bit. And
wow.
So I was like, I was like, the nerve of him saying, "Is your nose broken?" But
that's date number one.
Right. we actually, my husband and I talk about it all the time, what is making our marriage go? And we both have agreed that, yes, Christ is the center. That's the most important. But when you're married, you get to learn how to extend grace that is undeserving. You get to learn how to be selfless, and you get refined, because we are naturally selfish creatures and we are naturally kind of wanting our way in different things. But it's a give and take, and it's an ongoing journey. And my grandparents were married 63 years before my grandpa went to be with the Lord. Yeah, and I asked my grandma, I said, "Grandma, how did you and grandpa stay married so long?" And she said, she said, "There were times he got on my nerves and I got on his nerves, and there were times we didn't really want to talk. But eventually one of us would wear out and we would say, to start a conversation, 'I like your shoes.' And that kind of was the beginning of, okay, let's forgive each other. Let's move on." And so I think it's just don't know, you learn a lot when you're married. My husband is very logical, very analytical, very organized, and I'm the free spirit butterfly, like unicorn butterfly land. That's where I live most of the time. And so that's what he says. And so when we first got married, I used to take his DVDs out of alphabetical order and put them in random order just to see if he'd notice, and he did. So we get on each other's nerves, but we love each other through it. And I think it's just, I don't know, you become better, you know, and you learn a lot when you're married.
I love that. I guess there's two things that pop into my mind. One, I love that you said a little bit ago that you were directionally challenged when you were trying to drive to the church. And one of my favorite scriptures is literally when I went through my divorce, I lived on this scripture for many, many reasons. But it's just always stayed. It's a very popular scripture, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. I guess when you said directionally challenged, in my heart, it's like, wow, but when we follow God, when we align ourselves with him, if our heart is really aligned with him, we will always go in the right path. We will always, our path will always be straight. So just when you said that, I was like, wow, but with the Lord, our lives are straight. And then the other thing that I wanted to sort of ask you, especially for those of you out there that are listening, that you've heard the beginning of Carrie's testimony and you've heard some of the devastating things that had happened to her and as a result, what she was going to do. Sometimes you feel like there's no hope. Sometimes you feel like, why should I live another day? And I guess, Carrie, my question, or, you know, that you can elaborate on is, now that you've met your husband, that, you know, you guys are courting and now you're getting married, did it ever made you look back and say, I'm so glad I didn't take my life? I'm so glad. Like, look what came down the pike.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I think about that all the time. Had I taken my life, I would have met my husband, I wouldn't have my babies, I wouldn't have gotten to minister to families and see lives changed and transformed and chains broken, and I would have missed out on so much, and it's not worth it. I mean, you think it's the answer, but it's what suicide is. It's a permanent answer and a solution to a temporary problem.
Amen. And wait, so, say it again. Say it again. Yes. Say it again for those that didn't hear it.
Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And it's not the answer. It's not. And that's the biggest lie that the enemy has unfortunately unleashed on so many people. And some have done it and some have almost succeeded with it. But it is the biggest lie of the enemy.
Thank you for saying that. That needs to be like a banner. It needs to be in cars. It really does, especially, you know, I feel like a lot of times it gets highlighted. We talk about that. But we just need to continue to keep educating people and reaching out to people and watching signs. I thank you so much, Carrie, for just even allowing us to talk about that today and to help those that are listening that maybe have contemplated that. I have to read this scripture really quickly because, you know, just in the spirit of what's happening in this conversation, but Isaiah 43:18-19, I love this scripture. And for those of you, hope is here. Redemption is here. Restoration is here. Understanding is here. Isaiah 43, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I love that promise. God says, even if the ground looks icky right now, even if it's like, you know, you see the trail of muck in your life, that you've done things in your life and you're like, there's no way I can be redeemed from this. God says, I can take that wasteland and I can create something new. But the question he asks is, can you not perceive it? Can you see it? Can you see what he's trying to do? I love that. And you know, so Carrie, love you. We're going to keep rolling.
I love you too.
No, it's just exciting. It's exciting. So talk to us about Abram. First of all, before you talk to us about Abram, I want to talk about the significance of naming children. You have these beautiful names of your son and daughter. Talk to us about the significance of naming your children, and then talk to us about what had happened with your son.
Well, that's kind of funny. I'm trying.
If I know you, it probably is.
Well, my husband and I were watching MTV. And we saw this person named Abram, which I know is a biblical name. That's not where we got it. We were actually watching MTV, so that's where we got that name. But with that being said, you know, we knew it was a biblical name. And we knew that our son needed a strong name. And Abram is a strong name. And Malachi is his middle name. And so... Yeah, so it's Abram Malachi, and he is just such a blessing. My daughter's name is Hallie Anna, which to me sounds like Pollyanna, but we named her after Halle Berry because we were watching X-Men. But anyway, yeah, but, you know, my son, he is just so precious, and we actually had a miscarriage, my husband and I. We got married and we got pregnant on our honeymoon. We went to Maui on our honeymoon. My dad called it the Maui Wowie, which was very embarrassing, but we did get pregnant and we had a miscarriage, and we had a feeling that that baby was a boy. We didn't know for sure, but we named that baby Aaron. So we have a baby Aaron in heaven. And, and so, but with Abram, we just knew it needed to be a strong name. Having lost the baby, we knew we needed a strong name. And so we went with Abram Malachi.
That's beautiful. I'm telling you, your testimony mimics Sarah Jessica. I said Sarah Jessica Parker. No, Sarah. Sarah Roberts. Sarah Jakes Roberts, because her son's name is Malachi. So it's just crazy, you know. But one thing I want to say, folks, that you're listening, if you've been tuning in from the beginning, you hear all these things that have happened to Carrie. Do you hear the giddiness in her voice? If you were to talk to her, would you think that these things had happened to her? You see how the joy of the Lord can be our strength? I mean, she really has a joy inside. You can hear it. You can hear it in her voice. She's not weighed down with the past. She, you know, most of you out there, like, you're listening and you're just thinking, wow, I mean, you know, it almost sounds, if you were to not really tune in, you would think she hadn't gone through anything. That she's laughing, she's watching MTV, she's doing all these fun things. She has not lost her zeal for living. She hasn't lost it. Oh, I'm telling you, that's the restoration of the Lord to allow her to live to see another day. I love that. All right, so Carrie, talk to us about your son.
Yeah, my son, Abram, when he was in pre-K, his teacher said, "Hey, Carrie, I need to talk to you a minute." And I said, "Okay." And she said, "I really think you need to get Abram diagnosed. There's something going on. He's not really making eye contact. He is not excelling in his fine motor skills and his large motor skills. And there's just some red flags that I'm seeing that there's something going on." And I actually got really upset that she said that to me. I was like, the nerve of this person, because your mama bear comes out. But what I realized is, after going through the denial of having someone say that to me about my child, then saying, okay, I should go ahead and see what's going on here. And we went to a couple different doctors. One doctor examined him and said, well, you know, the way his eye movement is, I don't think he'll be able to read. And I thought, you know what? I don't agree with that. Like, your words, again, there's the words, you know, your words that are spoken over my son, I don't agree with that. And so we wanted a second opinion. And the second doctor we went to, they said, well, he has low sensory integration disorder, so he doesn't really feel pain sometimes. One time he broke his arm on the playground at school, and he didn't even, like, show any sign of it being broken. I just felt like it needed to get looked at, and sure enough, it was broken. And so there's just a lot of different things with that. And then we also found out he had high-functioning autism. And
wow.
One of the doctors thought he had dysgraphia, which would affect his handwriting and reading and different things, but they canceled that out. But I remember sitting in the waiting room, and when he was at occupational therapy, and I was sitting there, and I was praying, and I was like, God, why would you give me this child that I adore? Why would you do this to him? Why, you know, we tend to do that when things are happening that we don't understand. And as I was sitting there saying, God, why, then God kind of let the scales fall off my eyes, and I started looking around, and I saw other parents that were in similar situations as me, and some of them had more severe cases, and some of them had similar, and my focus started shifting, and I didn't focus so much on the problem at hand. I said, God, thank you for this opportunity. It's like God changed my perspective. I went from asking why to then saying, God, thank you for this opportunity that I can be a witness and encourage these people that are in this waiting room that had I not been in this situation, I wouldn't have given them, I wouldn't have gotten the opportunity. And so... Anyway, my son, you know, when he was actually in third grade, you know, again, this first doctor told me that he was not going to be able to read, but in third grade, he was reading on an eighth grade level.
Stop it.
And so,
wow.
Yeah, and he's so fun. Like, I'm convinced he's going to have his own sitcom someday. He makes everybody laugh, and I just adore him, so he's amazing.
Well, Kara, I love that. Because I feel like we're back to the words again. We're back to the words that led you one way when you were younger. And now here's these words where you're saying, I know who God is.
Amen.
I know who God is. God, in your testimony, you said God has the last say. I've realized that God has the last say. In your testimony, you said this: we don't realize where God is while we are in the storm, because we are so focused on the storm rather than fixing our gaze on the one who can calm the storm. What I love is when you talked about, and I love what you said God shifted my perspective from the problem to the problem solver. Oh, praise the Lord. Because he's saying, wait a second here. I know you have troubles. Take a look around. Everyone's suffering. It's not just you and your son. It's everyone in this room is probably all of them at the same time were asking him, why, God, right?
Yeah.
And it reminded me of Gideon. You know, many times in our lives, folks, you know, we're asking God these questions. We think he owes us an answer. And in many ways, he wants to bring us that peace. But sometimes we don't want to be involved in the resolution. We don't want to be involved in it. Gideon's coming to the Lord and says, I heard you were God. I mean, I've heard these stories from the ancestors, and yet we are having trouble with the Midianites. They're coming against us, and what are you doing? It's almost like Janet Jackson, you know, what have you done for me lately? And we don't realize we take on that posture. We don't realize that, you know, but I love what you said. God says, I want to shift your focus here a little bit, and not necessarily on the problem, but the problem solver. Now we can encourage, I'm telling you, we can encourage others in our despair, in our weakness. We can look around and say, wow, there are people that are having situations that are worse than us. And that's when it's like, what, you know, what Christ says to the leaders of the day, you know, what you have done to the least of my brothers and sisters, you've done to me. That when we're feeling good, we can walk past the homeless person on our way to getting our $10 breakfast from Wawa. We can do that. And yet God's like, wow, like we have to shift our perspective. So with that being said, you have shifted your perspective. And Kara, can I say that, do you feel like what happened with your son, was that your rock bottom? Was that was kind of, was that that moment where it was like you really connected with Christ? It wasn't just spiritual formation. It wasn't just my parents raised me a particular way. It wasn't just this is what someone told me to do. It wasn't just this is what my husband had to say. This was an intimate thing that happened. This boy came from your womb. Could this have been the rock bottom?
Yeah, it was, because I felt like I was the one that made him have this struggle. And what God was showing me is that, Carrie, I want to change your perspective, and I want to break off these things that are in you. I want to purify your heart, and I want to make you who I've created you to be. And I know who Abram is because I created him. Mm-hmm. And my son actually said something beautiful one day. I was taking him and his friend home from school, and his friend also has some different things going on. He has ADHD. And his friend was expressing to him, you know, I'm frustrated. I have ADHD, and this is my complication with it. And he was talking about it to Abram, and Abram said, but you know what? I don't look at my autism as a hindrance. I look at my autism as a gift. And my son was able to say that his autism is a gift. And he said, I'm able to see things differently than other people. It's a gift. And I was just like, wow, you know, and understanding that, you know, that rock bottom for me was I had to get to the end of me. I had to, you know, we constantly, until we're home with the Lord, we have to be purified daily. And there's going to be things in us that we have to break off because we live in this broken world. But having that perspective shift is huge. And watching my son have that perspective shift and saying that this thing that is trying to cripple me and trying to hold me back is actually a gift. I look at it as a gift.
I'm telling you, wow. It's so amazing. Even children can teach an adult. You know, that folks, you're out there listening, it's important to remain coachable. You don't know how God's going to deliver the answer to you. That sometimes we can't have our egos in the way, because look what this boy is saying. We sometimes look at people's fallibility. We look at their flaws. We look at all these things, and it's kind of like we already are grading it on our society sheet, you know, like, oh, this is acceptable, this is not acceptable. And it's her son that says, listen, I have a gift. This is, don't pity me. I love that. So before we close out the show, we're coming to the end of our show, Carrie. I want you to take a minute to talk about women becoming ministries, because you've been in ministry for 14 years. You've gone through this road, this journey, and you're still going through this journey with your family and your husband and what God has for you. Talk to us about women becoming ministries.
Yeah. So when I was pregnant with my daughter, I was 22 years old, and God gave me this vision that one day I would be speaking in front of thousands of people. And I fought God every day on that, and I told him every excuse, every reason why I was not usable, capable, able. I told God, I'm just a pregnant blonde that has no college degree. Lord, how are you going to use me? And God said,
pulled a Moses.
Yes, I sure did. I tried to put everything in front of him, like, okay, this is why I cannot be used. I tried to give him a list of things. And what God did was, and what he continues to do, is he says, well, okay, you have that list, but my list is greater of how you are going to be able, because you're going to get to do it through me. And so Women Becoming Ministries was born, and God impregnated me with this vision as I was physically pregnant. And so I've been speaking to teens, preteens, and adults ever since then. And I am constantly uplifting women and encouraging them to walk in their giftings that God has given them. and I'm an encourager, and so that's what I feel like I'm supposed to do, is encourage others to be used. And, you know, some people may not want to really uplift other people's ministries and different things because they be in the limelight, but I feel like we're all, there's enough room for all of us, and we're supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Yeah, and so that's what Women Becoming Ministries does, is I go around and I speak to different groups and encourage women, and I'm an author, and so that's what Women Becoming Ministries is. It's becoming beautiful, doing something for God.
I love it. I mean, first of all, your testimony is beautiful, but the awareness that you have, women becoming, we're all becoming something. And it's really important that our decisions and our choices that we're making, that it's shaping our lives in that manner. I just love that. Folks, you've been listening to the amazing woman of God, Carrie Aller. She, again, is the founder of Women Becoming Ministries. And please check out her website at www.carriealler.com. We're so excited about what the Lord is doing in your life. And I love that, again, you haven't lost your giddiness. You haven't lost your zeal. You haven't lost the luster, the sweet things of life. I still feel that in you. I absolutely wish nothing but favor on your life and on your ministry and with your family and your children. I see already that you're just breaking down barriers, not only personally, but also, you know, God's like, I have a plan for you, sweetheart. And I see that you are a part of that plan, meaning you know the role that you play within that plan. I wish nothing but the best for you. We definitely need to have you back for a follow-up show. Folks, again, check out her website at www.carriealler.com. She is the author of Foundation Strong, Enjoy the Journey. We hear that, Enjoy the Journey. And God uses the unusable. So we're excited. I'm going to close out this program. I wanted to read from my NIV translation, my Bible. And many times, many of you have a Bible where the application Bible is probably more known for it, where you have all these nice little blurbs in there. It could be pastors. It could be just words of inspiration and encouragement folded into the biblical pages as you're reading text. And I came upon this, and I knew that this, it's by Bob Benson. It was going to encompass what we were going to talk about today. And I'm telling you, it's beautiful, so I wanted to read it. When life caves in, you do not need reasons, you need comfort. You do not need some answers, you need someone. And Jesus does not come to us with an explanation, he comes to us with his presence. We are always seeking the reason. We want to know why. Like Job, we finally want God to tell us just what is going on. But God does not reveal his plan. He reveals himself. He comes to us as warmth when we are cold, fellowship when we are alone, strength when we are weak, peace when we are troubled, courage when we are afraid, songs when we are sad, and bread when we are hungry. He is with us on our journeys. He is there when we are home. He sits with us at our table. He knows about funerals and weddings and commencements and hospitals and jails and unemployment and labor and laughter and rest and tears. He knows because he is with us. He comes to us again and again and again. Until next time, please keep sharing your dovetail. And God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. And to listen to this show and other shows, visit the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media or download Stitcher on your mobile device so you can tune in to next week for another Dovetails with Deborah.